meeting is called to order. Before we begin, or as we begin, I should say, Dan Siegel, as a candidate for mayor in Oakland, is automatically off of the board, given our governing rules. And the next person who is runner-up is Kate Gowan. And so welcome, Kate, to the board. And so Kate is now a member of the board. Roll call. Craig.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. Before I do the roll call, I just want to point out that I'm passing around, coming down this table and up the other one, is a roster, and I just want you all to check the information on there, email address and phone number, make sure it's current so we can have a current roster. I'll circulate this after the meeting. It's important for us to have phone numbers in case we need to do a phone meeting in the unlikely chance. But anyway, just check that and pass it on to the next person. Thanks. So, on with the roll call, and I'll start with me, and I am here, Alderson, that is, and then Boschman.
Here.
Boschman is here. Bernstein?
Here.
Bernstein is here. Edwards Tiegert?
Requested an excused absence.
Okay, Edwards,
he's in India.
Edwards Tiegert is not here. Urkula? Urkula is here.
You have to speak for the recording.
Oh,
that's
here.
Fine. We've got it. That's why I repeat the names, so it's clear. Fuentes.
Here.
Fuentes is here. Gans. Gans is not here. Okay. Goldmacher.
Here.
Goldmacher is here. Goen.
Here.
Goen is here. Hernandez. Hernandez is not here.
He's sick.
Johnson.
Here.
Johnson is here. Coburn?
Here.
Coburn is here. Kurzweil?
Here.
Kurzweil is here. Moore?
Present.
Moore is here. Morgan?
Here.
Morgan is here. Pritchett?
Present.
Pritchett is here. Sanders?
Present.
Sanders is here. Sawyer?
Here.
Sawyer is here. Sterling?
Here.
Sterling is here. Town Nichols?
Here.
Town Nichols is here. Travis?
Here.
Travis is here. Welsh?
Here.
Welsh is here. Whipperman?
Here.
Whipperman is here. White?
Present.
White is here. And Wilkinson?
Present.
Wilkinson is here. So that's 22 present, 3 absent. And I move that we excuse the 3 absent members.
Second.
All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? The 3 members are excused. All right. Next, we will approve the agenda. You have the agenda in front of you. It has the minutes, the public comments, the adjourn as the public board, the reconvene as the delegate assembly, and the reconvene as the local station board with all of that. I guess what we're doing is really affirming the local station board agenda, and then when we're in the other mode, we'll do that. So all in, it's been moved. Is there a second? Okay. Is there a second? The agenda.
Second.
It's been moved in. Is there any discussion? All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Yet another unanimous vote. We're on a roll.
I know we journey.
Thank you.
Frank.
Can I say something? I sent a thing out late to Craig last night. It'd be great if that would be listed on the agenda at all. Is it possible?
What is it?
The letter that from the unpaid staff. It'd just be great to have it legally acknowledged. I know it was late, but they sent it out to me like last night, the last minute. So.
Right. I was thinking we would deal with that in the agenda. So
wasn't there another agenda?
Oh, okay.
So
what
is it about?
Oh, you were going to remove something.
Do you have copies of it?
Do we have copies of it? Okay. Do we have copies of it?
I didn't hand them out yet because I did this, but I have them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Should I make it a proposal?
Janet?
Put program changes and then you can see the agenda.
Janet? Why don't you, are you going to pass it around?
Yeah.
Well,
but should I make my proposal that I want to add that, or what do I do?
Excuse me.
Yes.
Okay, so we've already approved the agenda, but if Frank.
I know, I was kind of like catching up after I said that.
It's all right.
Excuse me. It's okay.
Mike,
I'm sorry. So I want to suggest that if Frank has a communication to the board, that we take that up. When the board reconvenes after the delegate assembly, that we just agree that we will receive a communication to the board. Are we being asked to do something?
I think they wanted to acknowledge it on the agenda.
Okay.
All right. I'm chairing this meeting.
Okay.
We will take the vote on the agenda as the vote on the first order of business, which is the roll call, the approved agenda, the approved minutes, the public comments, and the local adjourn as the local station board. We have that as what we have approved. We will deal with the rest of the agendas as they come up. David.
I have a question. I noticed there's no place on here for new business. Does that mean that new business is not on the agenda, or is it?
There was no submitted.
I mean, normally.
There was an unsubmitted.
Well, I suggest we have a place for new business.
Well, we will. Let us deal with that when we reconvene. We'll deal with what we're dealing with now. The agenda, as we have now, is the agenda for the first part of the meeting, which is we just approved, which is roll call, call to order, roll call, approve agenda, approve minutes, public comments, and then adjourn. We'll then go into the two other sections, and we can do that there. Janet.
Yes, is this on?
Yes.
Yeah. I just wanted to remind us there had been a decision last month about the meetings for the year, and there was an agreement about having a special order of business for each meeting to begin at 1. That was an agreement. And so I just wanted to make note that
agenda.
It wasn't at 1, and we did have a discussion online about it. And so, in any case, in the future, just want to remind, 1 o'clock is our special order of business.
On that point, before we move on to the minutes and then the public comments, I'm taking two positions here as chair. One is that elections and seating of board members aren't the special order the way we talked about it before. For example, next December, we're not going to wait until 1 o'clock, presuming that people have been elected to do the reinstallation. We'll do that at the beginning of the meeting. And I consider this kind of an election also a similar election issue and different. However, given that there was that confusion, if we need to take, I think what we'll do is take the vote, but the counting in deference to your telling people and so on, we can hold the count until 1 o'clock if you want to do that. But we'll take the vote before that.
Does that mean people don't still vote?
Okay.
Not today.
Perfect. Okay. Great. All right. The minutes. We are to the minutes. Yes.
May I comment on the minutes?
Why don't we have time for people to read the minutes? I haven't read them.
Your keyboard makes a lot of noise.
It's all right. I could mute that one. It's muted now.
I think it's the keyboard, not the microphone.
Andrea, did you want a comment? Cynthia.
Yeah, I'd like to.
Margie, Jana, Frank. Yes.
Yeah, I would like to notice that in section 10B, where it lists exactly the months and the meeting topics to take priority. At the end of that section, it says, on motion as amended, there was consensus to schedule these items for 1 p.m. as special orders of business. So if somebody were to look at our minutes and then look at our meeting, they would notice a discrepancy in the difference between what we say and what we do. I would also like to have it known that I like public comment. I'm really glad when people come down here and speak. And you know, Virginia has been very involved, and she comes down here often. But Walter Turner never comes here. And he talked about some pretty serious subjects related to programming, related to the racism, et cetera, et cetera. And nothing that he had to say is reflected in our minutes. And I'm sad about that. And if the secretary needs some help in record keeping, you know, we could work together if you want some help in creating an accurate record of these meetings. But I feel like the severity of what he was talking about really is worth recording. And I offer my help in keeping a more accurate record of these meetings.
Cynthia.
I thought that Sharam and myself were, we were absent, and then it says at the bottom came late. And it was, since it was such a short meeting, I don't know, let's see Sharam's name there. But anyway, I think we'll just leave it that way. But I very much support what Andrea said.
Margie.
Well, when I asked for the floor,
Mike.
I'm sorry. When I asked for the floor, I was going to move approval of the minutes, which really should have happened before we had this discussion. But I don't want to do that now because I want to respond to what Andrea said. I really find it very problematic to have comments characterized in minutes. I've been in organizations where that was done, and it led to all kinds of time spent on people saying that isn't exactly what I said and here's what I meant. And I think that there are two ways to solve this problem. One is to refer people to the recording of the meeting where they will be able to hear everything that both the speakers said. And I certainly support maintaining minutes the way Craig does them, which is just to talk about what happened and not characterize people's comments. And the other is for us to ask for people to submit their comments in writing, which in which case they can then be attached to the minutes. And I think that's not a bad idea. And I regret that I didn't think of it because I agree with Andrea that what Walter Turner said was very important and very interesting, and I had a conversation with him after the meeting that was even more enlightening, and I wish that we had asked him to submit written comments to be part of the record. It's what they do in Congress, and it makes a lot of sense to me. But I don't want the secretary to change the way he takes minutes because I've been there, and it's not a good idea. And besides, Robert's Rules of Order says that's not what you're supposed to do, that you're just supposed to record the actions of the body and not characterize what people said.
Can I have a motion to move the approval of the minutes?
I was going
to
say something.
Okay. Well, no, we're not going to vote now. We're just putting that out because Margie called attention to the fact that we hadn't done that. Next is Janet.
Okay. I also would like to support some kind of addition of public comments in the minutes somehow. Either, well, if there's a referral to the recording, at what point in the recording, you know, the timing, just listen at such and such time. And then if anybody wants to submit their comments in writing, also post them to the LSB list. So there's a soft copy, not just a hard copy. But the reason why I wanted to talk here was that I have a nit about the minutes. And it's in Section 6 under Announcements, and it's about the December 23rd, 100th anniversary of the Federal Reserve. The second sentence, including demands to nationalize the Fed, not national, just add three letters. That's it.
Frank.
Hello, everybody. I missed last. Is my mic on? Hello?
Yeah.
Can I talk louder?
Yeah, you're good.
Sorry I missed last week's meeting, but I want to thank everybody for voting on Lewis's and my resolution, and also had help from Vilma and a couple other apprentices. But I'm really saddened to see that when someone moved to support budgeting for that it was 12 no, 3 yes, and 2 abstaining. All the talk about supporting the apprenticeship program, and I don't see Richard here, but Richard's grid that he planned and some of the terminology he used in the meetings about letting the apprenticeship program be the inlet for women and people of color, and that we should really populate the station with people through that, which is kind of what we already do. But I just am disappointed to see that no one voted for to budget for that.
Anna. That you're talking on not what happened, but your comments about what you think about what happened. And we're trying to say, what is this an accurate reflection of the meeting?
All right, sorry about that. Well, that was what I wanted to say.
But you got it in.
Yeah, I got it in. So I'm disappointed
so
in that.
So cool. Okay. Craig.
Well, I just wanted to respond to the proposal that I transcribe the comments of public speakers. I think that's an unreasonable proposal. I can't write that fast. And you know, the meetings are recorded, so listeners and board members can go back and listen to them. I'm perfectly happy to post the time in the recordings when people speak, when public comments begin. I mean, that I can do. But I think it's unreasonable to propose that I transcribe the comments of every public speaker, A, because I think it's an unreasonable imposition on my work here, and B, Janet perfectly illustrates the pitfalls of trying to summarize discussion. I mean, I make mistakes. I count on the board to review these minutes and make corrections. And I think it's unfair to the public speakers for me to try to summarize their comments and not give them a chance to review in the next meeting to review and make corrections. So, I absolutely agree. Walter Turner's comments and the comments of the other public speakers are always very important, and the board always pays close attention to them. But I just cannot transcribe them.
Joy.
I would like all of us to be conscious of the fact that we have people who want to make public comments. We're spending a lot of time, and we haven't even passed the agenda. I would like to suggest that Craig list the people who speak on the public comment part, and that way if somebody wants to hear what they said, they can go to the recordings. Can we agree on that?
No, he's going to add the time frame. And if people, I think there was a suggestion by many, and I didn't hear anybody disagree, if somebody wants to submit their comments in writing, there can be some posting of them at least. Are we going to move the agenda?
Yes.
I mean the minutes?
Yes. I move that we accept as written.
Okay. All those in favor, please, as corrected. Moved as corrected. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, we are now, I believe, into public comments. So do we have a list of who signed up? Okay. Miguel Molina. Can we give him a mic?
Can we
what?
Each?
Either one.
We have 3 minutes and I'm
done.
Yes. There is a 3 minute time, and this is the timekeeper, so she waves at you wildly. Thank you.
First of all, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. As a longtime programmer, producer, and radio activist, I'm coming forth from my community and from the collective that I represent.
Excuse me, could you speak louder?
Not a problem. First of all, thank you for giving me this opportunity to be here today to deliver this message from the collective that I work with and from the community that I come from. To all those concerned, as of the December the 20th, there has been proposed changes to the programming grid that do not reflect nor include the necessary input by the programmers of whom these schedule changes will affect. Management and other entities have been meeting and planning these changes without the necessary transparency and inclusion of all parties affected by these changes. The parties that will be affected by these changes are mostly the unpaid staff, who play a key role in keeping the station afloat. The act of engaging in this backdoor decision-making is a blatant disregard to the volunteers who have been dedicated in providing service to the station. These proposed changes completely disregard the mission statement put forth by Lou Hill in the founding of Pacifica Radio. These changes are an attempt to segregate through block programming indicative of the 1950s specific racist programmings. These changes are dated and lack cultural sensitivity. It is important to take into consideration the need for change in regard to the present economic situation of the station. However, there needs to be an understanding of how these changes can be taken into account in order for a viable business model to be implemented, as well as thought and care to existing scheduled programming. The changing demographics of the Bay Area, the state of California, and the nation are a telling factor as to how necessary these changes can be put forth in a way that can and will be beneficial to all. Clandestine meetings and backroom deals are not the answer. Over the last 65 years, the unpaid staff has been hugely instrumental in keeping the station afloat, with major contributions to diverse programming that has become a significant signature trademark of community radio. Some of these programs have become nationally syndicated and can now be heard globally on the internet via social media and the like. To disregard what has made Pacifica Radio, KPFA, the flagship of advocacy journalism and listener-sponsored radio, is to disregard the communities at large that have kept the station in existence. If there is a push forward with these proposed changes, there will be a pushback, since what is being proposed is wrong and unjust. There needs to be an understanding as to what is being done and why by all parties involved.
Excuse me.
Are these changes being proposed to create dissension amongst the unpaid staff or to create havoc and chaos to divide us? Thank you.
Thank you. Would you like to submit that in writing?
Since you have it written.
We.
You got till 4 o'clock.
He's got till more than 4 o'clock. We can give you Craig, the secretary's email address.
Did we get his name on the record?
Yes, we do.
Miguel Molina.
Yes. Dennis Bernstein.
That
Thanks, everybody. I don't often have a chance to get down here and participate in these meetings. If you listen to KPFA, you know that we're incredibly busy. And a drive time show takes a lot of work. But I did want to just follow up with Miguel. You know, Miguel came to Flashpoints 10 years ago. He came with the experience of being a farm worker in the fields, being an activist with United Farm Workers, being a visionary who founded the first, helped to found the first bilingual radio station in the country, and 30 years in an incredibly important program, La Onda Bajita, that represents the new majority. We're in a white minority situation. Miguel, 10 years ago, came to Flashpoints, and the first thing he did was jump on a caravan that went across country with undocumented workers, the beginning of the Brown Revolution. And he brought that connection, that trip across country, and that spirit back to KPFA. Anybody watching the situation in politics knows that it was Brown people that were responsible for the Democrats' victory in the last elections. And everybody knows the next election and the one after that is going to be representative of this new people of color majority. Two, and I have to say that that connection that Miguel gave to Flashpoints and that he brings to La Onda Bajita is the future. That's where our future community is. And we need to keep in drive time that representation. And we need to keep out of the segregation of so-called weekend programming for people of color and music to the weekends. We need a real integrated structure. Again, in terms of the way we began to learn about these changes was, in my opinion, a managerial nightmare. You want to destroy station morale? In the middle of a fundraiser, start passing around possible schedules about how things are going to change and watch people struggle and cry in the back rooms and try and figure out how they're going to do their program when they're worried about losing it and also fundraise. Now, I am interested to know the committee that created this schedule. I want to know who the committee is, and I'd like to recommend now that they include Miguel Gavilan Molina, the only indigenous Native American Chicano member of the staff, in any kind of discussion of the future. To leave folks like Miguel and Walter and others out of that is straight up racism. It's got to stop. People need to apologize to the programmers for that kind of backroom management, and they need to do it right. If you want to think about program changes, bring in the people who are breaking their backs to do the programs. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Tony Gonzalez.
Oh, thank you, and good morning, my relatives. I'm here representing the American Indian Movement and Bay Area Indian community, and I want to thank the radio program and including La Onda Bajita for hosting Across Indian Land, which is a program that I'm a part of in their two-hour program. And I was somewhat dismayed to hear of the changes that seem to have happened and to uproot a program such as La Onda Bajita, which has been on the same radio time schedule like decades, right? Yeah, so, you know, and beyond. And the kinds of peoples that Dennis Bernstein referred to that is a growing population, not only here in California, the Southwest, and across the country, but, you know, having some respect for that in the changes, you know, that went on. And to remind you, in the 2010 U.S. Census report that had just come out, in the Indian community, the four largest intertribal groups in the United States right now The first would be the Cherokee, and then the Navajo, and then the Choctaw. And lo and behold, the fourth largest intertribal group in the United States is the Mexican-American Indian. And I encourage you to Google and look that up, because that is the growing population. And this is the indigenous peoples, and this radio program has helped Indianize the community, the Berkeley, the Bay Area, across the country where Pacifica has gone. And it's become very valuable into Indian country itself. And I must say that the men and women who are incarcerated behind the iron doors, like just out here at San Quentin, which I go to sometimes, they're also locked into this radio program at that time. And there's guys that are doing time in San Quentin that have been like the decades that this radio show has been going on that Friday from 8 to 10. So I encourage you to perhaps consider rescinding the decision, rechange it, and keep this radio show. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Daniel Borgstrom.
My name is Daniel Borgstrom. Actually, I wanted to talk on the same subject. I happen to be a fan of the morning mix, and diverse hosts, and I understand local ones from the Bay Area, and I understand that this is going to be replaced with something that's piped in from Los Angeles. Let me give you an example of something about the morning mix, one program. I live in Berkeley, close enough to the bay that I go walking around the bay quite around the marina quite often. And I look north, I see the Richmond Refinery. We've all seen it. You can't really miss it. And in case you do miss it, occasionally they have a little fire, and we know about the fire, the last one that sent about 15,000 to the hospital. Who knows what the next one will do? Well, every Thursday, there's a local Richmond activist on the morning mix who talks about, well, one of the things it covers is this Richmond thing. Now, I think, and other local issues as well. Now, can he... somebody piped in from L.A. do as good a job as he's doing? I would like to see that. That's just one example of a local programmer. I think it would be a major loss to see him taken off that time slot.
Yes, Andrea Soto.
I'm talking about Andrea Soto. I could mention the others too, but I don't. There isn't time. So I'm just mentioning him for as an example. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. That concludes the public comments. There's nobody else who signed up, and I don't see anybody else here who seems to be looking to sign up. So as we agreed previously, we are now going to adjourn as a local station board. Can I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
And a second? All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay. And now we are called to order as a delegate assembly. And
is the recording going?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And so we have an agenda as a delegate assembly, which is listed as confirmation of nominations received by 12/31/13, statements by candidates, elections of directors, and then we will adjourn. Can I have a motion to approve this portion of the agenda? Second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. So, confirmation of nominations received. I give this to Craig, who has a list of the people who were nominated.
Okay, on the back of the agenda, you'll find the list of nominations. Nominations were due by December 31st. Well before then, everybody was nominated who was eligible to run. And that's what this list reflects. There is one error. Well, this is a list I passed out at last month's meeting, but I just want to note a couple changes. Dan Siegel is no longer on the board, so his name has been stricken. I've listed Kate Goen twice. She's a swell person, but she doesn't get to be listed twice. So she's listed actually not even in alphabetical order. I blame Excel. So she appears after Mark Hernandez and then after Lewis Sawyer, so you can just scratch out the second appearance after Lewis Sawyer. But the list here shows the following people who are eligible to run. And what I'll do is I'll just read everybody, listener or staff representative, who's eligible. So Alderson, that's me. Bernstein.
I'm sorry.
We'll deal with that in a sec. Yeah, let me just read the list into the record, and then I'll deal with the acceptances or declinations. Okay, so Alderson, Bernstein, Edwards, Tiekert, Fuentes, Gans, Goldmacher, Hernandez, Johnson, Coburn, Kurzweil, Moore, Pritchett, Sawyer, Sterling, Teo Nichols, Travis, White, and Wilkinson. So those are the nominations received at the end by December 31st. Let's go down the list and see whether people accept or decline. Alderson, I'm going to decline. At Bernstein. And Edwards Tiekert he's not present, but he emailed his acceptance earlier. Fuentes?
Accept.
Fuentes accepts. Gans is not here. Does anybody have any information on that? Barbara?
He did not notify us directly now, but he has said in the past he does not want to be. I don't know.
Okay.
Well,
he's not here, so I'll...
I think if he hasn't affirmatively accepted...
That's right, yeah, he has not affirmatively accepted this, so we'll mark him as a decline. Goldmacher, do you accept or decline the nomination for the PNB? You were nominated.
Everyone was.
Goldmacher declines. Hernandez is not here, and I have no information for him, so I'll mark him as a decline as well. Johnson?
Decline.
Johnson declines. Coburn? Coburn accepts. Kurzweil?
Do prisoners want to stay in jail?
Jack.
Okay. I'll.
Yes or no, Jack? He declined.
Is it correct that you decline? You decline. Kurzweil declines. Moore? Moore declines. Pritchett?
Decline.
Pritchett declines. Sawyer?
I'll
stay. Sawyer accepts. Sterling?
I will accept.
Sterling accepts. Teo Nichols?
I will
accept. Teo Nichols accepts. Travis?
Decline.
Travis declines. White?
Accept.
White accepts. Wilkinson?
Accept.
Okay, Wilkinson accepts. So, let's see here.
Oh, you should explain about the two separate elections.
Right, right. There are two groups of members. There are listener representatives and staff representatives. Okay, I'll pass this back to the chair.
I was just going to read that.
Well, okay. There are two elections. One is for the listener reps and one is for the LSB reps and the staff reps. And so we will now hear Craig. Go ahead.
Okay.
Read.
Well, I'll put them on the board.
Okay.
So there are five listener reps, Jose Luis Fuentes, Janet Coburn, Ramses Tan Nichols, Burton White, and Margie Wilkinson. Those are candidates for the listener reps. For the staff reps, there's Brian Edwards Tiekert, Lewis Sawyer, and Frank Sterling.
And there are three positions from the LSB and one from the staff. Three from the listeners and one from the staff. Okay. Everybody votes, I think, except Mel. he's crying. Okay. Do we have ballots? And as you know, we have weighted voting. I don't know what you call it, what you guys call it.
Single transferable vote.
Single transferable vote.
Which is also
ranked voting. So you vote, if there are three slots, you vote three times, and you rank your first, your second, and your third choice if you want. I mean, you don't have to do that, but that you're that. What?
You said vote three times.
Oh, you have three choices as you vote.
Move if you're first when one person reaches what they call the threshold, then the votes get distributed by second choice, and when that person gets the threshold, it goes to the third choice. So our choices, we only have really one vote, but we get to have our first and our second and our third choice. It's kind of a coincidence that at this point we're filling three seats.
Oh. Okay. All right.
I just want to clarify. There's a single ballot. There are six spaces. There could be more if you want. There are five candidates running for the listener position. You can list all five if you want. You can rank them in any order. You can list one. You can list two. There's a single ballot, and just list the candidates you want in the order you want, and that's how they'll be tabulated.
And this is for the listener?
This is for the listener position, the three listener positions, that is.
Okay. Are you passing them out?
Oh, right, I got to do that.
Are you going to give it to Joy? She's standing right behind you. Craig, Joy is standing right behind you.
You didn't put Frank's name on the
Yes, this is only for...
Sorry. Okay, got it.
This is the listener election we are doing now. Yes, we can do that. All right. So, Janet, do you want to start out?
All right. My name is Janet Cobran. I'm a retired high school math teacher from New York City. And when I moved to the Bay Area, I worked as an information technology professional for over 15 years, so I'm kind of aging myself. I've been a KPFA listener member for 25 years. I'm an eclectic activist and organizer. And over the years, I've been involved in many different projects like Occupy, housing justice, human rights, civil rights, election integrity, environmental justice, financial justice, and many others, including democratic media activism. I've been a KPFA and Pacifica listener activist since 1999. I've served on boards of directors of several nonprofits. I've been an active member of the KPFA local station board for the last 2 years. I was an active member of the PNB Technology Committee in 2012 and the PNB Audit Committee in 2013. I have followed and am aware of the issues facing KPFA and Pacifica. There are a lot of challenges ahead of us, and I show up and I'm willing to do the work. So vote for me.
Okay. Jose Luis Fuentes. Try it.
Hello. Good. Okay. My name is Jose Luis Fuentes Roman. I'm an attorney here in Oakland, and I'm running for the Pacifica National Board. I've been an attorney for 16 years doing employment law and civil rights. And my belief is that we have to make decisions from the ground up, not only as a board member at the local station board, but likewise at the Pacifica National Board. Decisions have to be from the ground up, starting from staff and working its way up. And the board has to know its parameters, stay out of managing the station's programming, and so forth. Our interest is in keeping the stations running and money flowing in. Thank you.
Ramses.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Ramses Teo Nichols, member listener of the local station board, and I've been a rank and file union activist and organizer for about 8 years from San Francisco. Also, really involved in the community there on electoral politics and community organizing, and I've been a listener of KPFA and Pacifica for since I moved to California like 12, 13 years ago. I am interested in being on the Pacifica National Board. I think there are a lot of issues that I've learned here over the past year, and a lot of dynamics between different groups on KPFA, on the LSB, and also in the community in the Bay Area, that I think I would be good to serve in as someone from the KPFA on the PNB in a way that, you know, I'm accountable and also bring the issues that have been really difficult for us, but we need addressed also at the level of Pacifica National. So. And that's why I'm running, so thanks.
Burton.
White. My name, is that okay?
Yeah.
My name is Burton White. I started, my roots with KPFA started in 1960 when, after being arrested at San Francisco City Hall in the demonstration against HUAC, I was invited to become on non-paid staff as a commentator on the student movement. I was then invited to become a member of the paid staff in public affairs and became the chair of the first union at KPFA. I then began, out of that experience, representative registered nurses both here in California, and then in Oregon. And I now live in Oregon, have been listening to the station over the web from Oregon. I served last year as the chair of the local station board. I now, as a result of my experience and what I learned from KPFA and the labor relations process, I now practice as a labor arbitrator and mediator and conciliator in attempts of bringing people who disagree into agreement. And on that theme, I am running, I like to serve on this board, and I am running for the Pacifica National Board again, in the hope of bringing agreement to our community.
Margie.
My name is Margie.
Hello, 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 hello.
Hi, Frank. My name is Margie Wilkinson. I've been on this board since the beginning of 2011. Is that right? I was elected in 2010, something like that. For the last year, I've been on the PMB and would like to continue serving to represent you all there. I can't say that the meetings are any less contentious than they were when I first came on the board. I had hoped to make that my hallmark, but it hasn't worked out so well. But I am interested in continuing. I think I agree with Jose Luis that we need to figure out how to make decisions from the bottom up. And there is a great deal of energy spent in the opposite direction at the PMB, and I hope to change that. And I think that we have an opportunity. We have an obligation to save this incredibly valuable people's resource. These five radio stations, the flagship of which is KPFA, and so that's what I want to do, and I'll do my best. Thanks.
All right. Now, those are the candidates for this election. So if people would fill out their ballots, and we'll have Craig go around and collect them. I think also count them as so that we know.
Let's get a committee to do
that. I have a question, too.
Okay. Yes.
Are we supposed to mark on here that these are listeners, or you got them colored?
We know for the names. Only listener names are on it. But I think then that we since there had been agreement that the counting will happen right away, I think what we want is a committee who does not include people who are running. I think we have Mr. Tanaka to help on the count. Were you wanting to say something, Craig?
What I wanted to propose is... This one right there.
Right here.
What I want to... propose
is that we collect the ballots now. I'll seal them in this envelope. Then let's do the election for the staff rep. We'll collect and seal those ballots, and then the committee can count both of them at the same time. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Janet?
I recommend that Mel be part of the committee.
Good idea. Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead with your collecting and counting, and we'll settle the rest of this while you're doing that. We don't have to.
We can do two things.
Aki's
here to assist, right?
Right. No, that's right. I already acknowledged him. So we'll have Mel and Mr. Tanaka, Aki, be the chair of the... pardon? Mel. Did I say Mel? Okay, Mel. Okay. You're trying to get out of it, I know, and make a joke. Janet.
Yes, and we have Nicole Milner here, who has been involved in the election process for many, many years. Maybe she would be willing to also be part of the counting.
Are you? Yes, okay. And I think what we will do is once we have this all is we'll take a break while the counting is happening. Wait, there's another election going on.
I know, I'm going to write the name.
Oh, okay. He gets such a kick out of not being chair. He just, like, sits over there and giggles.
And everybody else loves it when the boss marks you.
Okay. All right. Now we have the second election. And the people in nomination are?
Okay. So the nominees for the staff position to the national board are Brian Edwards Tiekert, Lewis Sawyer, and Frank Sterling. And we all vote on these three.
Except Mel.
We all vote one.
We vote for one.
Sorry.
No,
you can
vote
for one. We all vote on the...
Everybody votes on the staff.
They all voted on the list.
It's on one ballot, so it's one vote, but you can put as few or as many as you want in order of your choice. Was that all right?
Yeah.
All right. Speeches. Who's going to do the Brian imitation? I won't. Okay, nobody will. Lewis, Frank? Frank, go ahead. Okay.
Hello, everyone. My name is Frank Sterling, and I was, battling with the decision to even try to run for the national board. This is my second term on the local station board, and I'm learning more and more on how things operate. I would say my expertise is not on budgetary items and the more financial type side, curriculum side, but I think more on the personable side, and I'm hoping to bring my collaboration around the station with both factions, if you want to call it that, or the groups that we work within the station to the national board and, you know, see if I could transfer that there like Margie was trying to do, see if she could promote more unity, and that's what I'd be going for. And it would be a learning curve for me, and I would just appreciate to give it a shot and see how it works. And if people feel that they want to attempt that with me, feel free to vote for me as number one staff candidate. Thank you.
Thank you. Lewis.
Well, this is a task that I have in, am I on?
Yes.
This is a task that I have been aborted for some time. I think I'm ready to take it on now after some terms with the local board. I think I'm now ready to move whatever resources I can bring to the national board.
And Barbara has asked to speak for Brian, so
I won't try and imitate him. It's impossible. But I will say that Brian was treasurer of the LSB at some period prior to me becoming treasurer. And he has been very helpful in my moving into this position. And I know that he is vitally interested in the budgeting and has a lot of skill in reading these forms that drive other people crazy. He does visit the business manager when anything comes up that he's got a question about, and I think he would be extremely, he would really be in our corner, in the KPFA corner, for the budgeting concerns on the PNB.
Okay, time to vote. All right. So is there a room? Did people want to have this all count, have us adjourn while the count is finished? Or do people want to have? Yes, okay. That's the answer. All right. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Take a recess.
A recess.
No, we're not adjourning.
Recess. Okay, recess. So moved. We're recessed.
Okay. For how long?
Till the ballots are counted.
15 minutes? Yeah, sounds good.
I think that's probably right. I don't think this is very complicated.
We're back at 12:30.
15 minutes.
We're hoping you're done in 15 minutes. We may be dreaming.
That's too soon?
I think that's too soon, but we'll see.
No. I'm going to stop the recording.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, until the counting's done, which we hope is okay. Would people take their seats? We're reconvening, and so we are still we're still the delegate assembly. Okay, and so do we have the results from our committee? Perhaps, Brother. It's been submitted to the recording secretary. I don't know why him, but go ahead.
Okay, so the election committee consisted of Akio Tanaka, Mel Sanders, and was there a third person?
Yes.
Nicole Milner? Okay. Okay, so thank you all for your service in interpreting these. And so Aki has given me the results, and I'll read them in order of votes. So the first person elected is Janet Coburn. She had 8 votes. Congratulations. then was Margie Wilkinson with 7 votes, and Jose Luis Fuentes with 6 votes. So congratulations to all of you. Those were for the 3 listener seats. And then for the single staff position, the vote was Brian Edwards Tiegert with 13 votes.
How did I get?
He got a million.
You got a million votes.
Carol,
yes. Okay, so I want to let those of you who have just been elected to the PMB know 2 things. One is that the new delegates will be seated at a phone meeting on January 30th. This is in order to comply with the bylaws requirement that newly elected delegates be seated before the end of January. You notice we cut it pretty close there. Normally there's actually an in-person meeting before the end of January, but that meeting was postponed a week, so it's now scheduled for the weekend of February 7th. So you will be seated at a phone meeting. I'll notify the powers that be, and you'll be contacted by the tech guys to get you set up on the PMB list. And the other thing is that you have to be prepared to go to Washington, D.C. the weekend of February 7th. We fly in on Thursday and meet through Monday at a hotel in Washington, D.C. Nobody puts out any money for this. Your tickets are paid for through a travel agency, and there's a hotel room and all of that, and meals will be provided. So that's the those are the things that the new delegates need to know. And let me see. Do I have anything else to say?
Probably.
I don't think so. Not about this. Hopefully we'll be able to do well. Thank you all very much.
Okay.
Excuse me. Margie, could you just repeat when the phone...
The phone meeting is on Thursday, January 30th. And the phone meetings begin at 5:30
You can talk
time.
To each other.
Oh, thank you.
All right, is this on?
It's just a technical thing. When we switch after the vote and start doing the regular meeting, I want to put my other SD card in.
Okay. We are now going to have a motion to adjourn the delegate assembly. So moved. Moved and seconded. We are adjourned. So switch your chips. Okay, would people take their seats? We're reconvening, and so we are still. We're still the delegate assembly. Okay, and so do we have the results from our committee? It's been submitted to the recording secretary. I don't know why him, but go ahead.
Okay, so the election committee consisted of Akio Tanaka, Mel Sanders, and was there a third person?
Yes.
Nicole Milner? Okay. Okay, so thank you all for your service in interpreting these. And so Aki has given me the results, and I'll read them in order of votes. So the first person elected is Janet Coburn. She had 8 votes. Congratulations. Then was Margie Wilkinson with 7 votes, and Jose Luis Fuentes with 6 votes. So congratulations to all of you. Those were for the 3 listener seats. And then for the single staff position, the vote was Brian Edwards Tiegert with 13 votes.
How did I get?
He got a million.
You got a million votes.
Carol?
Yes.
Okay. So I want to let those of you who have just been elected to the PMB know 2 things. One is that the new delegates will be seated at a phone meeting on January 30th. This is in order to comply with the bylaws requirement that newly elected delegates be seated before the end of January. You notice we cut it pretty close there. Normally there's actually an in-person meeting before the end of January, but that meeting was postponed a week, so it's now scheduled for the weekend of February 7th. So you will be seated at a phone meeting. I'll notify the powers that be, and you'll be contacted by the tech guys to get you set up on the PMB list. And the other thing is that you have to be prepared to go to Washington, D.C. the weekend of February 7th. We fly in on Thursday and meet through Monday at a hotel in Washington, D.C. Nobody puts out any money for this. Your tickets are paid for through a travel agency, and there's a hotel room and all of that, and meals will be provided. So that's the those are the things that the new delegates need to know. And let me see. Do I have anything else to say?
Probably.
I don't think so. Not about this. Hopefully we'll be able to do well. Thank you all very much.
Okay.
Excuse me. Margie, could you just repeat when the phone...
The phone meeting is on Thursday, January 30th. And the phone meetings begin at 5:30
our
time.
You can talk to each other.
Oh, thank you.
All right, is this on?
It's just a technical thing. When we switch after the vote and start doing the regular meeting, I want to put my other SD card in.
Okay. We are now going to, I have a motion to adjourn the delegate assembly. So moved. Moved and seconded. We are adjourned. So switch your chips.